Hi, I'm Jim Maurer, and I want to teach a series on there being one way. And this will have many applications, but I want to look at it religiously. And in the beginning, in this first series, and I hope you'll join me for all of them, I'm going to keep them hopefully to about 12 minutes in length. But in this first one, I have 6 points that I want to make. And the first one is to provide some definitions. One way refers to exclusivism. Pluralism is the other view, that there's multiple ways. In many cases, people would believe that these multiple ways aren't just ways that we just allow ideas to exist in a society where we want to get along with everyone and we allow and respect other people's opinions of things. But pluralism can also mean to some people that there's many valid forms of things, like religion, for example. Pluralism, of course, comes from the word plural, meaning more than one. And so it's used to describe things like that in whatever realm, political, cultural, religious, that there could be more than one view. Pluralism's opposite is exclusivism. It obviously comes from the word exclusive. And exclusivism is a view that only one claim, path, system, group, or truth position is ultimately valid in a particular domain. That domain being religious, political, moral, cultural, etc., while alternatives to that view are excluded. So exclusivism holds to there being one truth, really one real view that is anchored in reality. So point two, there's two practical ways in which pluralism is good. One is that not everyone is alike. The human family is not monolithic. It's good that we're not all identical. We're not cookie cutters of one another. We don't have all the same ideas. We're varied. And so pluralism is good in that way. We recognize not everyone is alike. Some examples where pluralism is good is in the area of politics. People have different ideas, and many of those ideas deserve representation in society. So hence pluralism, and that would be good. Another good area for pluralism is cultural pluralism. America is especially pluralistic culturally. We're kind of a melting pot from peoples from all over the world. And we love all nationalities and ethnicities. And usually we coexist well. And so pluralism is very good and very valid in that sense. The second point where it's practical for pluralism being good, and that is that pluralism in a fallen world is good for societal peace and well-being. Again, we don't agree on everything, but we respect the rights of others to hold a differing view than us. Sometimes differences of opinion are held emotionally, where people could potentially clash with one another. And in these areas, we respect another person's view for whatever reason he disagrees from us, and we allow for the pluralism, the peaceful coexistence in society. People are welcome to their personal views. Examples of pluralism being necessary for peaceful coexistence are such, and I'm going to use one here, and that is in the origin and universe, the origin of the universe and of us, pluralism and worldview. And there's basically two views, two main ones, and that is the creationist view. That is that God exists and God made all things. Christians hold this view. We believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we accept that. We might also note that Jesus, too, who was God in human form, so he knows he did it. He believed when he walked on this earth, the creation account of Genesis. That's important to us. In Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5, I'll read, And it's where Jesus cited the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Here in Matthew 19, Jesus answered, "Have you not read that he which created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Jesus referred to creation, referred to Adam and Eve. And he said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So we believe in that creationism. Amen. The other view is evolutionist view. And those who believe in evolution, basically, they can't explain it, but they believe the universe essentially popped into existence. They don't know how, but they say it popped into existence. And then they believe that things evolved from there over long periods of time, and that eventually there came to be life, and life forms evolved into more complexity. So that's their view, which brings me to point three. Whatever view one holds, he must be cognizant of the fact that these two positions in this area that I just specified cannot both be true. They're mutually exclusive. Either there is a God and he made all things, or there is not. So both positions, while they can be held by people that, and we agree in the pluralistic sense that we should all be able to have our own views about how the universe came into being, because otherwise there might be repression or even state-sponsored or state-controlled views, and we don't want that. But it's important for anyone who holds a cosmological view to realize only what is correct. And I think, too, that we ought to, in the end of the day, realize that exclusivism wins out because there can only be one way. It came into being either by God or, as the evolution would say, popped into existence. But there is just one way. And of course, that's the essence of this series. We want to show that there's one way. So I think it's necessary that those, whatever view they hold, they accept the fact one of them is wrong, one of them is right. So each person, too, along with that, this is point four, should want to know the truth. Who doesn't want to know the truth? What advantage is there in believing something that's untrue? What virtue, what value does it have? There's no premium on ignorance. So we should want to know the truth. As human beings, we value education, not indoctrination. Education is about learning facts. So there should be, on both camps of this view about a worldview, there should be an honest desire for knowledge over preference of position. If we're just holding a position because we prefer that position or we want to believe that position is true, that's not a good motive for choosing that position. There should be a quest for truth, for knowledge, real knowledge, and an honest desire for it. The other reason is my point five. Ramifications of the cosmological positions is enormous. How you view the world, the origin of the universe and yourself, affects how you view life. Let's look at the position of evolution. If you believe in evolution, then basically you have to admit there's no meaning to anything, including your own life, because there was no purpose behind it. It just, as they believe, just came into existence, somehow inexplicable to us at this point. But it really has no meaning. The morality that is in the world, they would say, is just a figment of someone's imagination. There's no real purpose. There's no real right and wrong. There is no meaning at all. It's devoid of that. Not a very positive way to view life and existence. But the creation view swells in contrast with importance and purpose. Because God making the world means that that there's purpose in it, there's a reason for it, there's a reason for each and every one of us. Everything in the universe is logical and makes sense. And all of that affects how we view life, ourselves, and our fellow man. And as I said, there's ramifications to our worldview, because if God created everything, then there's responsibility and accountability, and we will live accordingly in most cases. But if we just came into existence through evolution, there's no accountability. There's no one to answer to, and we would tend to live accordingly. So again, the consequences of our view are great. In fact, they're eternal. Because if the Christian view is right, and the creationist view is how things came to be, then we are accountable to God. We are here. We will give account for how we lived, and it will have an eternal consequence, and eternity is too long to be wrong. The whole concept of eternity is vast, beyond our ability to imagine, and so that's heavy with weight concerning the outcome of our respective view. So the other thing about determining a cosmological position, because it's so important, we need to understand two things. We must have volition, a desire to know. We as human beings who are curious creatures, who want to know, always trying to learn, having a vast capacity to learn, we should have the volition, the strong desire to know. And the second thing we should have is the honesty to choose correctly when data confronts us, and to be able to look at the data without being biased one way or another, but to desire to choose correctly. And probably if our desire is sufficiently strong to know the truth, honesty will be close at hand. If we really want to know, that would tend toward our being honest about what we come to know. Point number six, taking any position in anything, but we're still using this cosmological example, taking any position involves choice. Choice. Human existence is full of choices, and there's no better way to manifest one's character than by making choices. We make millions of choices. They're manifest multiple times, many times during a day. And that's really, those choices are how we manifest who we are, manifest our own character. We have free will to make choices. Free will is both the greatest and most serious endowment that we possess. We love our freedom, but choosing well is just as important as having the freedom to choose. So when we consider worldview, we must want to know, and we must be honest about coming to the right conclusion, because that is what is to be preferred. And lastly, I'll say this, talking about choices, we make choices by two means. Logic, which is reasonable, right, and true. We get logical facts because the universe is logical and intelligible. We know that everything is capable of being understood and learned. It just takes study. So we make our choices by logic and by emotion, what we like or dislike. But in making serious choices about what really matters, we need not to let emotion get ahead of logic. Logic determines what is right. Emotion should embrace the truth, but emotion can lead to bias. So we must remember, decisions are made by logic and emotion, or a combination of them, but emotion can tend toward being biased. Logic is what must rule, because logic can be proved. So, just a quick summary. Pluralism is good where there is room for preference and subjectivity. But where there are, in cases where there's no actual right or wrong or true or false, people can have various ideas. In some things where people differ, exclusivism ultimately prevails, as in the cosmological view. There can only be one right way. So in the long run, exclusivism rules there, and we want to be on the side of what is right. So point, another thing, summarizing, third point, where it matters, every person should want to know what's actually true. And another point, there are ramifications involved in important matters of truth, such as our worldview. The ramifications can be eternal in nature, adding a lot of weight to that decision. And lastly, we mentioned that position involves choice. We should choose logically. In the next lesson, we'll look at pluralism in religion. I hope you'll join me. Thanks. See you next time. Bye-bye.